Amen. All right, so here this evening, of course, continuing on with the sermon from this morning. So I started preaching here this morning on is replacement theology biblical? If you remember, if you're not familiar with the term replacement theology, that is the term that is used to describe that the children of Israel have been replaced by a spiritual nation, which is what we believe the Word of God teaches, and start going through a lot of things that have been replaced to show this concept and precedent is set all throughout the Word of God. And so here this morning, we already saw that circumcision has been replaced. We saw that the temple had been replaced. We saw that Jerusalem will be replaced. And we saw that the priesthood has been replaced with a spiritual priesthood. The sacrifices have been replaced with spiritual sacrifices. And so far, everything has been replaced with something that is spiritual. And so we're going to continue on down that line of thinking, looking at what the Word of God says, starting here in Hebrews chapter number 8. Look down at verse number 6, and the Bible says right there in verse number 6, it says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." And so the next thing we see in the Bible is that, of course, the old covenant has been replaced by the new covenant. This is why our Bible is divided into two sections, isn't it? We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament, and the New Testament has replaced that Old Testament. Now, let's be clear that salvation has always been by grace through faith. Salvation was never by the old covenant, because we see in the scriptures that salvation goes back before then and goes back, you know, all the way to the time of Adam. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. But then we see an even better and more clear picture of salvation when we look at Abraham, because God made a covenant with Abraham, and Galatians chapter number 3 is very clear that this covenant of the Old Testament, which was given at Mount Sinai, cannot disannul the promises that were made unto Abraham. So that covenant of salvation has always been by grace through faith. But then when we look at this covenant that is to a specific people, the covenant that God made with the children of Israel, that covenant has been replaced. That covenant is gone, has passed away, has vanished away. In fact, that is the exact wording of this chapter. Look down towards the end of the chapter and look down at verse number 12, and the Bible says there, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And that he saith, "A new covenant he hath made, the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to what? To vanish away." If it was ready to vanish away 2,000 years ago, how about now? Anybody think that covenant is still around? You think we go by that Old Testament covenant that was given to the nation of Israel? No, we don't go by that. Now listen, we're not saying that God's laws, His moral laws or His criminal laws have been done away, but rather the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. That's what we're talking about here. And what does it say here? Was there fault with the covenant that God made? No, the fault was with them. The Bible says, for finding fault with them, they could not keep the covenant, and therefore that covenant has vanished away. And by the way, that is what God told them would happen. I mean, in the Bible, what we just read here in the book of Hebrews and what we'll read in a moment in chapter 10 is quoted in the book of Jeremiah. It is prophesied in the book of Jeremiah, and God told them, if you will do these things, then will ye be a peculiar people unto me. If you don't oppress a stranger, then I will cause you to dwell in the land. But did they oppress a stranger? Yes, because there was fault found with them, they oppressed the stranger, and therefore they're kicked out of the land. That is what happened. God found fault with them. They broke the covenant, not the other way around. It was not God who broke it. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at what the Bible says there. And look at verse number 8, or verse number, Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to verse 14 when you get over there. Hebrews 10, look at verse number 14. And the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter number 10, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are what? That are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Notice verse number 20, by a what? New and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. You see, when the veil was rent in twain, when Jesus was on the cross and the veil that was in the tabernacle, in the temple, was rent in twain, that was a picture of the body of Jesus Christ. That his body was the veil, the way into the holiest of all, and that was the picture that was put on the cross there, and Jesus fulfilled that for us. He fulfilled the old covenant, because he's the one that kept the law for us, but there was a fault with them. You see, the fault was not with Christ. The fault was not with God. The fault was with them. And therefore, that covenant, the Bible says, was old and was ready to vanish away. Take your Bibles and go ahead and go to Exodus chapter number 19. Look at verse number 5. I'm not going to dwell on that point too much here tonight. I'm going to spend most of our time on this one, which is the main point of, well, both sermons. Go to Exodus chapter number 19 and look at verse number 5. So if we see all these things that have been replaced, why would the nation not be replaced? I mean, if we see that the physical capital of that nation will be replaced, Jerusalem's going to be replaced. Why would the nation not be replaced? If the main figure and picture of where they were to worship in the Old Testament was replaced, the temple, why would the nation not be replaced? By the way, do you remember from this morning, what did replace the temple of the Old Testament? Temple of the New Testament, right? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. So the temple has been replaced. If all these things have been replaced, why would the nation not be replaced? And by the way, the majority of Scripture in the Bible that is about replacement theology flat out tells us the nation has been replaced. Now let's start in Exodus chapter number 19 and look at verse number 5 and see what the Bible has to say there. Exodus chapter number 19. Look at verse number 5. And the Bible says this in Exodus chapter number 19, verse number 5. Now therefore, notice this word, small word, but it'll get you in trouble, won't it? What's it say? If. What does that if mean? Conditional. Absolutely. That means there is a condition upon what God is about to say. Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Did they keep the covenant? No, because there was fault found with them. Look at what it says. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So listen, in the same breath there, in the same promise, where he tells them, if you do this, you will be a holy nation. He also says, if you'll do this, you'll be a kingdom of priests unto me. Now, we looked at that this morning, and in the Bible, the Word of God tells us that this was to be, in the Old Testament, talking about the priesthood, was an everlasting priesthood. But do we have a priest of the tribe of Levites today? No, we don't have that. That has changed, hasn't it? Now, is God a liar? No, absolutely not. We talked about that this morning, that has been replaced. In the Old Testament, it was a priesthood of men through the tribe of Levi. In the New Testament, what kind of a priesthood is it? In the New Testament, it's a priesthood of believers that has been replaced. So if in the same breath, in the same portion of Scripture, where God says, if you'll do this, then you'll be a holy nation unto me. He also says, if you'll do this, you'll be a kingdom of priests unto me. If the priests have been replaced, what else has been replaced? The nation, right? The nation has been replaced according to the Word of God. Because what does God say there? If you will obey me, then you'll be a peculiar people unto me. So it is a conditional thing. Did they obey God? No. Listen, if you want to say that they're Israel today, are they obeying God today? No, they're absolutely not obeying God. So according to God, if they did not obey Him, if He said, then you will be a peculiar people unto me, then what's that mean? It means they're not a peculiar people unto Him. That is what is being implied. Now take your Bibles and go ahead and go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. And look at verse number 9. Let me show you something in the Bible. And you'll see that similar wording that is used there in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel is also used in the New Testament, but not talking about them, talking about us. Look at what the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter number 2, and look at verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and look at verse number 9. See what the Bible has to say there. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and verse number 9. And the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter number 2, and verse number 9. But ye are a what? Chosen generation, and a what? Royal priesthood, and an holy what? Nation, the Bible says, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So in the Old Testament, God said, if you will obey me, then you will be a peculiar people unto me. Then you'll be a kingdom of priests. You'll be a holy nation. And then in the New Testament, we see the same exact wording used about us. Well, what does that tell you? That tells you the nation has been replaced. That in the Old Testament, it was the physical nation of Israel. In the New Testament, it's a nation of believers. It's not a nation where you could just draw the boundaries and say, well, here's America, or here is all of Christianity within this border, and everything outside of it is Gentiles, heathen. Is that the map we see? No, what do we see in the Bible? That those believers come of every nation, of every tongue, of every family, of every kindred, of every tribe, comes from all over the world, because it is a nation made up of believers. And what is its capital? Is its capital a physical city that's over there in Israel today? No, its capital is where? New Jerusalem in heaven. That's our capital, because remember, that capital is going to be replaced. That capital today is a physical city, Jerusalem. It's been replaced by our heavenly capital, New Jerusalem, and we are the holy nation that has replaced that nation. Now, let's look at some more scripture on it. Go to Matthew chapter number 21. Look at what the Bible has to say there. Matthew chapter number 21, and in this chapter, we'll see that Jesus gives us an example and flat out tells us that the nation has basically been replaced. Look at what the Bible says. Matthew chapter number 21, and we'll start in verse number 19. Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 19. And the Bible says this in Matthew 21 and verse number 19. The Bible says this, and when he saw, you know what, let's go back one verse. It says, now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever, and presently the fig tree withered away. Now, what's taking place here? Well, Jesus sees this fig tree. There's no fruit on it. So what does he do? Does he go up to it and tell it, all right, you're going to be barren for a little while, and then later on, you're going to come back. Later on, you're going to bear more fruit. Is that what he says to the tree? No, he tells the tree, basically, you're done. I'm done with you. And they're going to wither away and no longer bear fruit. Now, what does this picture in the Bible? Well, notice what happens later on in the chapter. Look down at what the Bible says, and let's continue reading a little bit. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, or verse number 20, And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And when he was come to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. And look at verse 28. This is where it gets interesting. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to the two husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord thereof the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Now, what did we just read in that parable? All of this ties together, and it starts at the very beginning with Jesus Christ going to this fig tree, no fruit on the tree, and he commands it to wither away. That's what takes place. What is this all a picture of? Well, who are the first husbandmen here in the story that he goes to, that he sends his son to, that he sends these men to, and they won't hear them, they won't reference them, but they beat them, they kill them, and finally he sends his son unto them, and they won't reverence him either, and they kill him and seize on his inheritance. What's that all a picture of? Israel is who that is a picture of. So you know what it starts out with? The fig tree. He goes to the fig tree, there's no fruit there. What's that a picture of? Well, where did Jesus go next? He went to the temple.
And guess what? He goes to the temple. There's no fruit there. There's nobody doing the work of God. What did he do at the temple? Anybody remember the stories? Goes into the temple and he casts out, the overturns the tables of the money changers and casts them out of the temple, drives them out with a cord. Happens two times in the Word of God, in the Scripture. And what do we already see in the Bible? The temple has been replaced. Why has the temple been replaced? Because there was no fruit there. Therefore, the temple was replaced, and those who are supposed to be doing the work, the nation of Israel, is that fig tree. That there's no work going on, they're not bearing any fruit, and therefore they are that fig tree that he said be withered away. Now, does that fig tree come back? No, but that's how independent Baptists want to act today. That fig tree is coming back. Is that what Christ said? No, Christ didn't say be withered away and then later on you're going to come back. Is that what Christ said? Absolutely not. Withered away and he's done with the fig tree. The fig tree is gone. The fig tree is going to be replaced by another tree. Look at what the Bible says. Here the Bible says this. Look at the husbandmen there. Verse number 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read the scriptures? The stone which the who? Builders rejected. Who are the builders? Israel is who that is. Look at what the Bible says. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That's, by the way, from the book of Isaiah. It goes on to say, verse 43, therefore I say unto you, notice this, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. And what does it say? And given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. So listen, if the nation is taken from one and given to another, what does that mean? It's been replaced. Listen, if I had one worker that was working for the church and he's not doing a good job and I tell him, you're not doing a good job, you're not bringing forth fruit, guess what? I'm going to take your authority from you. You're fired. Now I'm going to bring Levi up here and I'm going to hire him to do the job. What does that mean? The work was taken from you. It's now been given to Levi. Levi is now doing, he's replaced you, is what has taken place. So if the kingdom, if Jesus says, the kingdom shall be taken from you, Israel, and given to another, bringing forth the fruits thereof, what's he saying? You're going to be replaced, is what he says. That's replacement theology in the words of Jesus Christ. That's what our Lord and Savior said, the nation taken from you and given to another, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And who is that nation? Believers, we already read it in 1 Peter chapter number 2, but ye are a peculiar people that are to do what? To show forth the praises of him which hath sent you. You are to do the work of God. And listen, if you don't do the work of God, by the way, this ought to be a warning to you, that if God would replace the nation of Israel, if you don't do the work of God, then what is God going to do with you? He might replace you. Now, you can't lose your sonship. You can't lose your salvation. You'll always be in that nation. You'll always be in that kingdom, but on a lower scale. You know what? If I, as a pastor, don't do the work of God, what's God going to do? He's going to replace me, and he rightly should. You see, if I got up in front of you, and all I did was read a stinking curriculum book to you every single Sunday, you know, I ought to be replaced. If I got up and I didn't prepare a message and I just got up and read it verbatim to you every single service, what would you think about me? Be honest. Lazy, worthless, good for nothing is what you would think about that pastor that can't even prepare a stinking message to preach to his people, that can't put together some words and search out the Word of God. Hey, my Bible tells me that the preacher sought out to find acceptable words that were written in the Word of God. And if God would replace the nation of Israel, don't get so haughty that you don't think that you will be replaced. You don't do the work of God? Well, guess what God might do with you? He might replace you. You know, that keeps me sober. That keeps me fearing God and keeps me honest about my job being a pastor, because I know that if I don't do the work of God, God will replace me. If I don't feed the sheep, God will replace me. If I don't do the work of an evangelist, which the Bible commands me to do as a preacher, well, then God will replace me. If he replaced Israel, why would he not replace me? Right? So you know what? Don't sit here tonight and just blame Israel for everything. Let's apply it to ourselves, shall we? That if he would replace them, he'll replace you too. If they've been broken off, by the way, that's what Romans 11 teaches us. If they have been broken off, you also can be broken off. You also can be replaced, and others can be grafted back in. Now, again, you'll never lose your salvation, but you sure can lose your position of authority. God sure can take you out of the ministry and put somebody else in your spot. Look back at what the Bible has to say. Let's continue reading some of this. Look back at what the Bible says there. The Bible says in verse number 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. They finally get it, don't they? Verse 46, but when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Now let's take our Bibles and let's move on here in the Word of God from this one. So in the words of Jesus Christ there, what have we already seen? This ought to be enough, shouldn't it? The nation's been replaced. He said he would take it from one and give it to another. You don't need a grammar lesson to understand that, do you? You understand that perfectly well in my broken, redneck, southern Louisiana English. You understand it just well, don't you? Look back at what the Bible says. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Look what the Bible says there. Ephesians chapter number 2. And look down to what the Bible has to say. Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 18. Remember who it said there? The builders have rejected, right? Well, look at what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter number 2, and look down at verse number 18. We'll not take time to read the entire chapter, but look down at Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 18. And the Bible says right there, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 18, and the Bible says this, Ephesians 2, verse 18, for through him we both, who's the both there? The uncircumcision and the circumcision. That's the precedent, that is the context that is set earlier on in the chapter, and we already covered that this morning about the uncircumcision and the circumcision, didn't we? Now look at what it says, for we both, Jew or Gentile, is what the Bible's saying, for we both, he goes on to say, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow citizens. What are we fellow citizens with them of? Are we fellow citizens of a physical place here on this earth today? Are we fellow citizens of the nation of Israel and of that city which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt? Are we fellow citizens with that? Thank God, no. Thank God I'm not part of that place right there. But what am I a fellow citizen with them of? I'm a fellow citizen with them of the New Jerusalem, the holy nation, which is made up of believers, Jews and Gentiles, of all time, of all nations, everywhere across the face of this earth. Now look back where the Bible goes on to say. The Bible says this, verse number 19, or verse number 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and whom? The prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see how all these scriptures tie together? How all these things that we're looking at, it all fits together. And if one of these things we have talked about this morning has been replaced because they're all joined together, they've all been replaced. So if God has replaced circumcision, hey, we see this in that chapter, then what else has he replaced? Everything else we've talked about, including the holy nation. If God has replaced the temple, then what else has he replaced? The holy nation. If God has replaced the temple and the priesthood and the sacrifices, then what else has he replaced? The nation in which those things dwell. You see, in the Old Testament, it was a physical nation where those things were, a physical temple, a physical priesthood, and there were physical sacrifices that were done. But in the New Testament, it's all become spiritual. In the New Testament, it is a people made up of all nations and all believers, and it's no longer a physical building that we go to, but the temple is the temple of our bodies. And the sacrifices are spiritual sacrifices that are made up of a spiritual priesthood of believers. And if all of these things have been replaced, which had to do with the holy nation, then what else has been replaced? The nation has been replaced because all of these things have been replaced. They've all been tied together. You can't have one without the other. If one is replaced, all of them have been replaced, and we're proving from the Bible that every single one has been replaced. Look back at what the Bible has said. In fact, look on down. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter number 9. This is where we started this morning. I told you we'd end up here. Romans chapter number 9. Look what the Bible has said. Romans chapter number 9. And look down at verse number 4. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 4. And the Bible says, and you can't get any more clear than this chapter. Look at what the Bible says. Romans 9, verse number 4. Who are Israelites? What's the question? Pretty basic question, isn't it? Who are they? Look at what the Bible says. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? You see, those things pertained to them in the Old Testament, right? What profit then hath circumcision, much chiefly every way, but because what? But because to them was committed the oracles of God. That's why their circumcision profited. It didn't save them. It just profited them because they had the word of God given to them. But look what it says here. It says in verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption? Let me ask you a question. Does that just pertain to the nation of Israel today? No, because aren't I a son of God? Aren't you a son of God? So who to whom does the adoption pertain now? Believers. Continue reading that verse. And the glory and the what? The covenants. You see, in the Old Testament, it was that old covenant. In the New Testament, there's a new covenant. So who does the covenant now pertain to? Believers, every one of us. Remember, these things pertain to Israel. And if it pertains to Israel, and if it now pertains to me, what does that make me? An Israelite in the eyes of God. Look at what it says there. It says, and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God. Well, who does the service of God pertain to now? In the Old Testament, the tribe of Levi were the priests, and the service of God was to them. Well, in the New Testament, we have been made both kings and priests unto Jesus, unto God and His Father. So the service of God pertains to every single person that is saved. That's why the Bible tells us that we are to offer up these spiritual sacrifices, that our body is to be a living sacrifice unto God. So the service of God pertains to everybody that is saved, that is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if these things pertain to them in the Old Testament, and now they pertain unto us, what does that tell you? The nation has been replaced. Look at what the Bible says, verse number 5. Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Which are of Israel. So what's the Bible saying? They're not all Israel in the eyes of God, just because they are of Israel. Just because they physically come of Israel, of the stock, of the DNA of Israel, does not mean that they are Israel in the eyes of God. Look at what the Bible says, verse number 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all what? Children. Children. Because what do you have to be the child of God? Believe, right? John chapter number 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe, the Bible tells us. You have to believe in order to be a son of God. So if they don't believe, what does that tell you? They're not a son of God. Remember what Jesus Christ told them? I know that ye are of Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. Ye are not of your father Abraham. Ye are of your father the devil. That's who they are of. They're not of God because they do not believe. Look back at what the Bible says here. The Bible says, verse number 8, that is, they which are the children of what? The flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of what? The promise are what? Counted for the seed. So these which are of the flesh, they're not the children of God. These which are of promise are counted for the seed. What does that mean? They which are of the flesh have been replaced by they which are of promise. Now, what does the Bible tell us in Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 28? Now, we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. So if we brethren, talking to Galatia, you know who that is? That's not Jews. That's Gentiles. The church at Galatia, if we brethren, Galatians, are the children of the promise, well then the brethren, those who are saved, are counted for the seed. What does that mean? Replacement theology. They have been replaced by a spiritual nation, which is by faith, which is through faith. Look back at what the Bible has to say there, Romans chapter number 9. Let's continue moving through this chapter, Romans chapter number 9. This is an awesome chapter for this. Look down to verse number 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Let's skip on down a little ways for time's sake. Go down to verse number 24. The Bible says this, even us whom he hath what? Called. That's election. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also what? Of the Gentiles, the Bible says. As he saith also in Osi. What book is that? Hosea. This is Hosea chapter 2 that's being quoted. And he goes on to say, as he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Hey, not of the Jews only, but also of whom? The Gentiles. They've been brought together and made one. We both are one and have access to God through the Spirit, whether Jew or Gentile. We've been brought together, and that physical nation was replaced by a spiritual nation. Take your Bibles there. Go ahead and skip on down a little ways. Go down to verse number 30. And the Bible says this in verse number 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to what? How did they attain to it? Well, what does the Bible say? Even the righteousness which is of what? Which is faith. I mentioned this morning. You know, you and I, we have broken the law, right? And because we've broken the law, circumcision profiteth us nothing, the Bible tells us. But my uncircumcision has been made circumcision, the Bible tells me, because I have kept the law. And how have I kept the law? Not through works of righteousness which I have done, but through the works of righteousness which Jesus did for me. You see, the Bible tells us that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, mentions a few other things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? Those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So how can I, if I was a fornicator in the past, how could I inherit? And by the way, I wasn't. But if I was, how could I inherit the kingdom of God? Through Jesus Christ. Because in the eyes of God, I'm not a fornicator because of what? Not because of my own righteousness, but because the righteousness of Jesus has been placed on my account through faith. That's why the Gentiles attained it. Look at what the Bible says there, verse number 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. You know what you just read? Replacement theology. The Gentiles have attained. The nation of Israel has not attained. You know what that is? Replacement theology is what that is. Over and over and over again in this chapter and all throughout the Bible, the nation has been replaced. Look at chapter number 11 and look down at what the Bible has to say in verse number 5. Chapter 11, verse number 5. And the Bible says this, chapter 11, verse number 5. And the Bible says there, even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to what? The election of grace. So listen, was there a remnant of Israel that was saved? Yeah, they were part of that election. The apostles themselves, most of them, were of the nation of Israel, right? So they're part of that holy nation. But are you in that nation just because you're of Israel? Absolutely not, because the Gentiles are brought in, right? Not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So continue reading there. Look at what verse number 5 says. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to what? The election of grace. How do you get into that nation? The election of grace. By grace through faith are you saved. Look at what the Bible says, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more works. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Notice this. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. What did you just read there? Replacement theology is what you read. Israel, the nation, hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What was Israel seeking after? Israel was seeking after the kingdom. Israel was seeking after that status of being a nation. Remember when Jesus was even on this earth, they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Wilt thou now restore the kingdom unto Israel?" They're seeking after that kingdom, but they did not attain that kingdom because they're seeking after it the wrong way. Instead of seeking it through faith, what were they seeking it after? Through the works of the law is what they were seeking it after. Therefore, they did not attain that which they seeketh after because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And because the builders rejected the stone, because they rejected Jesus Christ, they then were replaced, and the nation, the kingdom, was taken from them and given to another, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Look back at what the Bible says there in verse number 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. What did the Bible say there? The Bible says, and who has given them? Notice there, they cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot believe, because it's God who gave it to them. It's God who gave them those eyes that they cannot see, and God who gave them those ears that they cannot hear. Why? Because he's replaced the nation. Because they're that fig tree that had no fruit on them, that weren't doing the works of God, weren't doing the service of God, even though the service of God pertained to them. That was their job. That's what they were supposed to do, to be a light unto the nations, to show forth the praises of God. And because they did not, and there was no fruit on them, Jesus said, wither away. And God gave them ears that could not hear and eyes that could not see because there's no fruit there. And because there's no fruit there, the kingdom is taken from them and given to another, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Take your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter number 3. Look at what the Bible says there. Galatians chapter number 3. And look at what the Bible has to say in verse number 26. Galatians chapter number 3. And look down at verse number 26. And notice what the Bible says there. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 26. And the Bible says this in Galatians 3, verse number 26. The Bible says, "For ye are all children of God by what? Faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Let me ask you a question. Does God care about you being in the kingdom whether you're male or female? Nope, maybe according to the Ruckmanites, but not according to God. God doesn't care if you're male or female. Does he care whether you're rich or free? Or rich or poor? Does he care whether you're bond or free? No, then why would he care if you're Jew or Gentile? Does he care? No, because the Bible says in Christ, you're neither Jew nor Greek. There's no more. Look at what the Bible says, verse number 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to what?
The promise.
But as Isaac was, we are the promise, the Bible says, the children of the promise, and we are counted for the seed. What does that show us? Well, if the Old Testament, if the promises pertained unto them, the covenants pertained unto them, well, now the promises given to Abraham pertain to those which are of faith. What does that tell you? The nation has been replaced. I mean, how many ways can I drive this home here tonight? I mean, scripture after scripture. This is not a minor theme in the New Testament. This is a major theme. How had we missed it all of these years? I mean, we've been in church, most of us, for many, many years, and we missed it. You know why we missed it? Because we just took the word of people, and we didn't study the scriptures for ourselves. Look back down at what the Bible says. Go to Galatians 6. Look at what the Bible says there. Galatians chapter number 6. This is the last passage we'll go to here tonight. Galatians chapter number 6, look at verse number 13. And the Bible says this, Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in what?
The cross,
the Bible says. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a what? A new creature. What does that mean? If there's a new creature, something's been replaced. You see that there? We had an old creature, this flesh, and we have a what? A new creature. We have the Spirit, which is created in righteousness in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us. And this flesh has been replaced, because this flesh one day will be changed. Is this flesh going to stay as it is?
No.
No, one day, thank God, it will be changed. Look at what the Bible says here, verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, what rule? Circumcision doesn't avail anything, nor uncircumcision. What are we talking about? Faith. But as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon who? The Israel of God. Who does that tell you who the Israel of God is? As many as walk according to this rule. Because neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, the Bible says. It's only our status in the Lord Jesus Christ that means anything. We should glory only in the cross of Jesus Christ. So when we look at all these scriptures and we take the context and we put it all together and we see all these things, the plethora of them that have been replaced, what does that show us? The nation has been replaced. You see, circumcision has been replaced, and because circumcision has been replaced, that applied to a physical people, and it's been replaced with a spiritual circumcision, which is now given to a spiritual nation. What does that tell you? It's been replaced. If the temple has been replaced with another temple, the nation has been replaced. If the covenants have been replaced and they've been given to another people, the nation has been replaced. And then if you just take into account the scriptures that flat out tell you they've been replaced, it's pretty easy to see in the scripture, isn't it? How then can preachers deny what the Bible says? You know how they deny it? Because they're afraid to study it for themselves. Because of pride, because of fear, whatever the reason is, they're afraid to see what the Bible says. Because if you touch the Jews, you've touched the apple of the eye of the Republican Fox News Baptist. You've touched that apple of their eye, and now you are evil because you have said that you're equal with them. Listen, do I think I'm any better than the Jews? Do I think I'm any better than Israel? No, absolutely not. I think I'm on the same playing field, is what I think, that salvation is given to both of us, and God replaced them, and because he replaced them, that puts a fear of God into me, knowing that if I don't do the work of God, if I don't do the services of God pertain unto me, the work of God pertains unto me, and if I don't do the work, if he replaced them, he'll replace me. And if the services pertain unto you, and the nation pertains unto you, and the covenant pertains unto you, if you don't do the work of God, well, don't be surprised if God replaces you as well. And again, he's never going to take away your salvation. You'll always be in that kingdom, but he can take away your place of authority. He can take away your work, and he can punish you, and he can chastise you as he promises that he will do in this, in his word. So you know what? What we ought to take from this, when we look at all this, is it ought to give us a good, healthy fear of God. That if God did that to them, he will surely do it to us as well if there is fault that is found with us. So you know what we ought to seek to do? Not allow fault to be found with us. To do the work of God, to do the services of God, to take his word seriously. If God has put it in my hands to be a light unto the world, then what should I be? A light unto the world. If God has put it into my hands to preach the entire counsel of the Word of God, then if I don't want to be replaced, then I should preach the entire counsel of the Word of God, not just what is popular. The service pertains unto me. The preaching of the Word of God pertains unto me. Therefore, I should do it, or I will be replaced. I should do it, or the talent which he gave me will be taken from me, and it'll be given to that one that had more talents that he brought back to him. What does that mean? I would be replaced. You see, that's what replacement theology is. It should cause you to have a good, healthy fear of God. Let's end in a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us here this evening and this morning. Through this study, through the Word of God, I ask that you'd help us to take these things, to search them out, to study them. Lord, we know that the covenants apply to us, the nation applies to us, it's been given to us that we might bring forth the fruits thereof. Help us not to fail you, Father. Lord, I ask that when we need corrected, that you would correct us. When we need chastised, that you would chastise us. That you'd bring us back into the way, bring us back into the fold. Help us to do the service of God that pertains unto us. And in Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. We're dismissed here tonight.